offers U.S. passport holders. Humanitarian workers and reporters can apply for exemptions. The ban was announced around the death of American college student Otto Warmbier, the Ohio man in prison during a tour of North Korea last year. Warmbier died after being brought back to the United States in a coma following extreme treatment by his North Korean captors. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
The average age of a new father in the United States is going up. Here's correspondent Mark Mayfield.
A study published in the journal Human Reproduction shows the average age of a father to a newborn baby nowadays is just under 31 years old. Back in 1972, the average dad was 27 years old. The number of dads over 40 years old also doubled during that time period, from 4% in 1972 to nearly 9% now.
A crazy situation involving a man wanted on a warrant, a pit bull, and a U.S. Marshal results in the Marshal being shot in the foot. Here's the story.
It happened about 6:30 this morning while the federal agent was executing a search warrant at a house on Bayview Avenue. A pit bull attacked the Marshal, so an NYPD officer who was part of the task force involved opened fire, killing the dog but hitting the Marshal in the foot. The suspect wanted on the warrant was arrested, charges pending. The Hudson County prosecutor handling the case. Sarah Lee Kessler, New Jersey.
Russia has decided to really take their dead to the great beyond. It set to blast frozen dead people into space after they're cryogenically preserved. The Mirror reports the Russian firm CryoRus has 54 people and 21 animals from all across the world within their labs. Another 200 signed up for the service. The Russian firm says their aim is to preserve dead bodies immediately after someone passes before launching them into the atmosphere. Those who signed up for the funeral space launch will be given a wrist device that will signal cryo ruse once they died. USA Radio News.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutton Chamber Radio entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Okay, and now it is time for the weather. Today it is fair and 76 degrees. The humidity is...
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Sugar and spice. So nice, so nice.
welcome to Healthy Hunterdon. This is Kim Blanda, and it is August 31st. It's been a month, can you believe it, since we were here last time? And we are so happy to be here talking about Healthy Hunterdon and how to make better choices and live a healthy lifestyle. Today in the studio, we are very lucky to have a very special guest, and I am so thankful that he came to talk with us today. His name is Dr. Paul Marciano, and he is a leading authority on employee engagement and retention, but he is so much more than that, as we've been talking the last few minutes. He has a PhD in clinical psychology and specialized in behavior modification and motivation. So welcome, Paul, and why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Born and raised in Hunterdon County, and my office, I can actually see it from here, been on Main Street for 17 years. I've actually been teaching group fitness at HealthQuest since they opened 17 years ago as well. So health and wellness is near and dear to my heart, both physically and then also in a work environment.
That's great. All right. So we are here talking today about a great topic that I think will be helpful to everyone, hopefully. And one of the reasons that you're here is because my Healthy Hunterdon Workforce Initiative, which is an initiative between the Partnership for Health in Hunterdon County and the Chamber of Commerce, it's a worksite wellness program. We've asked you to come on October 6th to Hunterdon Medical Center and give a presentation about some of the things we'll be talking about today. But basically, it's about creating a culture of health. And today, we're going to be talking about tips to change and maintain healthier habits. So I think we all have lots of habits, some of them maybe positive ones and some maybe not so much. But can you just kind of introduce us into the topic today that we're going to talk about?
Certainly. While I would hope that folks are happy with their lives, most of us have areas, whether it has to do with our physical health and wellness or perhaps our finances, friendships, our work, that we would like to see some kinds of positive changes made in. And so I've developed over the years, actually, again, beginning in graduate school, looking at behavior modification, how are we able to make, even if incremental changes, that really make a difference in our lives. By the way, every year I have a theme in my my spin class, which I teach. This year's theme is being out of your comfort zone. I've modified that slightly to say out of your common zone, because I realize when you say out of your comfort zone, people get very uncomfortable and then nervous and tend not to do it. So out of your common zone refers to behaviors that you've engaged in the past that you know make a difference for yourself and for others. So as a minor example of that, it might be calling an old friend or a family member and just inviting them to lunch. It can be very small things in our lives that really have quite a large impact. And that's what I think is important to focus on and one of the things that we'll be talking about today regarding strategies.
Yeah, I love the fact that you bring up the small changes and big impacts because that is something we talk about on every show, because I think what happens is that people tend to get overwhelmed in their lives with anything. It could be exercise, it could be diet, it could be organization, whatever it is, and they feel like they need to accomplish something very big in order to accomplish something.
Yeah. And so, and I also think most of us, our lives are quite full, and so we look at making changes as often requiring more time and more effort in some way, and we give ourselves excuses and say that, you know, we don't have that time, and so figuring out how to make that work in our lives is important. You know, for example, we might go to the gym and somebody says, well, you're going to have to work out for an hour every night or something, and that just doesn't maybe reasonably fit. One visual that I like to think about, though, when it comes to what's important in one's life is if you imagine, say, a glass jar, and you have rocks and you have sand, By the way, I want to give a shout out to my girlfriend who's laying on the beach right now.
Oh!
I could be with her, but I'm here. I'm better. Happy to be here, Kim.
Well, thank you for that.
But if you can imagine the jar, the sand, and the rocks, and the sand represents all the stuff that we do in our lives. So it's, I know you're a mom, so it's, you know, taking care of the kids and doing your job, and groceries and laundry, everything that's part of our lives. And that sand you put into the jar, and then you have your rocks. And the rocks are the things that really matter. And if you try to put the rocks in after the sand is in, they don't fit. But if you put the rocks in first, the sand sort of always fits around it.
Right.
So, you know, an example, again, might be a rock, might be for you having exercise. It might be spending time with your partner in a quality kind of way. And you have to remember, the kitty litter box is going to get cleaned. It's just going to happen that way.
That's right. That's right. That's actually a really good point because, you know, as a nurse, I've talked with a lot of people about starting healthier habits. And I would say probably the number one excuse is I don't have the time.
Right.
And I think it's an excuse that I've used in the past as well. And I think that you definitely have to take a look at your schedule, like you said. You have to prioritize and put that into your schedule. So make that one of those rocks, if you will,
right,
and put it in the jar and don't allow yourself to remove it. Just like you can't remove the laundry or, I always say brushing your teeth. Because you never would not brush your teeth.
Correct. But by the way, I'll just, and I'm glad that you and I are on the same page, which is going on any page all the time. So that works.
Absolutely.
So there's actually a psychological construct called the PREMAC principle. And what the PREMAC principle says is that if you're trying to increase a behavior, create a new habit, that the best way to do that is to pair that with an existing habit. So an example that we'd always use is brushing your teeth as an established habit. It's something most of us do every evening or in the morning.
Let's hope so.
We hope so. My dentist tells me that. So what one might do is, let's say you wanted to read more. And you would say, I'm going to read 10 pages before I brush my teeth. Or I'm going to do 20 sit-ups before I brush my teeth. So that's kind of a neat little trick. And also, when you talk about engaging in new behaviors and the whole thing about time getting away from you, we know certainly when it comes to exercise, research is really clear, that those who set up that in the morning are more successful.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that as well, and I've seen the research on that as well. I know even for myself that if you can, I hate to say just get it over with, but for me, I feel like sometimes that's what it is. But if I can get it done in the day, I feel really great about it.
Yeah.
You feel positive, you feel energized, and you know, you get into work and you're like, wow, I have accomplished so much, and it's, you know, 7:30 in the morning. So I think that that's a really important thing for people to keep in mind as well. So you had given me a little outline for today's talk, and I do want to touch on these points because I think they're important, and I think they are things that real people can use and fit into their lives. So setting fitness goals, I think, or any kind of goals,
right,
I think is super, super important. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Sorry, it's taken us off a little bit. I have an exercise.
Oh.
I mentioned to you briefly about the future self.
Okay.
And I think if we can go through that, that might help people think about their goals.
I love that.
Yeah?
Okay.
So can we do that?
We can do that.
Awesome. Okay. Now, if you're driving, don't do this.
Pull over.
So what I'd like for you to do is to, and Kim, I'm going to make you do this too.
Okay.
How's that, okay?
Okay,
real.
Sure.
So, yeah, we can break eye contact. So what I'd like for you to do is to close your eyes and just relax for a moment. And I'd like to imagine where we are now, a bicycle outside. I'd like you to get on that bicycle, and it's a beautiful day, and to start riding your bike. And as you're riding your bike, you pass by the signs of the roads and stop signs, speed signs. And then all of a sudden, those signs turn to calendar days. And we see that it's the 31st, and then you see the 1st, then the 2nd. And as you go along, the days turn to months, and the months turn to years. And you can see the different seasons changing. And as you're pedaling into the future. And as we go, we're going to go 10 years into the future. And now the road turns off. And as you go down this new road, you're going to see a home. And it's the home that you'll be in 10 years. And look what, however you want. It can be on the shore. It can be in an apartment in New York or a beautiful house on the side of a hill. Now, what's important as we pull in is that you really take a moment to smell what there is to smell and hear what there is to hear, to really see what your future life will look like. And then as you get off the bike and go over to the door, you're going to knock on the door and be met by your future self. As your future self opens the door, he or she is smiling and they're happy, and they warmly greet you and invite you in. And they talk about how wonderful their life is, how your life will be. You can see pictures on the wall. Again, look around, see what there is to see and smell what there is to smell, hear what there is to hear. And your future self is exactly where you want to be. You sit down, and you have one question to ask, and that is, what do I need to know now to be where you are tomorrow? What do I need to know today? So listen to the counsel of your future self, what he or she is saying. Take a moment, ask any other questions that you might want to know the answer to. And when you are ready, get up, say goodbye, knowing that you'll see your future self again. Thank him or her for the time that they have given you and the wisdom they have imparted. And go back outside and get back on your magical bicycle and start coming back. And you'll see that the days turn to weeks and weeks to months and the months to years. See the seasons changing. And then you'll come back onto your main street where you are and easily and comfortably park your bike. Get off of your bike, relax. Really think about what your future self said to you and how you're going to make that come a reality in your life. What is that behavior you're going to engage in? What is the act that you're going to take that's going to make that difference for you? And then go ahead and open your eyes. And should you be inclined, you may want to write it down on a piece of paper to remember it, to reflect upon it. You don't have to share it with anybody, certainly. But it's something that you may really want to hold on to and bring forth in your life and know that it will make a difference. So, Kim, you certainly don't have to, but if you'd like to share with your radio audience.
I'm actually happy to share because it was an interesting conversation I had with my
great.
As brief as it was. So, it's funny because I, never did this before, but realistically, I will be living in the same house that I live in now.
Okay.
Only in this exercise, I wasn't because I always wanted a porch
okay.
on my house. So in the exercise, I drove up to a house that had a porch.
Well, can't you put a porch on your house?
I can. I keep trying, but
okay.
All right, porch aside. I think that what I was happy about myself. The conversation with myself is that my future self first told me keep doing a lot of the things that you're doing because As I started to mention before, about a year and a half ago, I decided that I was really going to make a commitment to exercising regularly.
Mm-hmm.
I was a yo-yo exerciser.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, as a nurse, of course I understand the importance of exercise, but I used to make the excuses. I don't have time. I'm driving to soccer. I'm driving to swimming. I'm doing laundry, whatever, working. But actually through the help of a friend, believe it or not, I started exercising, and I committed to at least 30 minutes a day.
Great.
Every day. And I suffer from migraines, so I think it has helped me with my migraines, but I also have allowed myself on days that I'm not feeling well to not feel bad about not exercising if it's for that cause. But anyway, so my future self said, keep exercising. I also try, I'm not a perfect eater, but I really try to eat in moderation. That's really how I eat.
Mm-hmm.
I eat pretty much everything, but I don't eat too much of the bad stuff. So my future self said, keep doing that and enjoying what, I really love food, to be honest with you, Paul.
Well, what's supposed to do, Kim?
But, you know, I try to keep it where it needs to be. I'll just say that. But my future self also told me you have to be a little nicer to yourself.
Mm.
You know, I tend to be very hard on myself. I get stressed because I want everything to be perfect. I want, especially with my job, I just want everything done like perfectly.
Right.
You know, A++. And it's what I have to realize too, and I've started to realize this a little bit, is that not everything has to be done with that intensity.
Mm-hmm.
That there are certainly things that do, but there are other things that maybe don't. And so I have to kind of let that go a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So my future self was telling me you have to deal with your stress a little better, and you know, it's okay. There are instances where it doesn't have to be super perfect. So those are some of the things that we discussed in that short little journey.
Well, those are good things to think about. And I imagine folks out there who are listening may have come up with all kinds of different responses. And mine was actually, I was in a basement office for a really long time. And believe it or not, I can be quite introverted, and I my future self said, get out of the basement, which was metaphorical for basically meet people and network and go out to lunch with people and get out there
right.
in the world. And that actually has made a really big difference in my life.
Yeah. And that's such an important part of being healthy as well.
It is.
You know, we were talking about how there's different components to being healthy, and it's not all about exercise and healthy eating. We know that having a strong social network.
Huge.
I mean, really, and especially as we get older and we aren't working or, you know, having our typical routine. So good for you.
So let's talk about stress for a minute.
Okay.
Because we all know about
help me?
Impact of stress. Well, I am. I actually, hopefully, I'm going to give you a perspective.
Help me and all of our listeners.
I can a little bit.
Okay.
So first of all, stress, I have a little definition that I made up when I used to be a professor. So stress occurs when the perceived external demands exceed your perceived internal resources. And so it really is a matter of perception. For example, people might say that they would be very stressed to come on a radio show or very stressed
Some of them have give told me that.
Public speak. Sure.
Yes.
And first of all, the truth is that your words give you your life. The words you speak give you your life. So, for example, if you were to say it's, quote, unquote, hard to go on a radio show or speak publicly, then it would be hard because you just created that. That's just real for you now.
Okay.
If you say that, you know, your boss is a jerk, your boss is a jerk. Why? Because we're never wrong. Now,
I tell my husband that, but he doesn't always believe it.
That he's a jerk?
No, that I'm right all the time.
That you're right all the
That's
time.
That's never wrong.
Good. But, you know, hard is, you know, there's a difference between the tensile strength of metal and how strong a sponge is, right? So that's reality. But when we say things are hard, then we put up these natural blocks for ourselves. Now, not to get maudlin, but to put things in perspective for a moment, there aren't many good things about getting older. I have to be honest with you. I'm turn 51 tomorrow.
Not far behind, Paul.
But here's one of the things that I think actually does. Well, first of all, I think that accepting yourself, you know, when we're teenagers, I don't think we want to accept ourselves. But hopefully over time we've learned to accept ourselves. Hopefully we've learned to accept other people more. I think what's really important is perspective and the things that would stress you out at 20 or 30 don't cause as much stress in your lives. And stress is really about things that are primarily, honestly, around health and wellness. Health, like health, real health issues. And this is absolutely horrific and tragic beyond, you know, words. One of my very close friends, his wife, 59, has just been diagnosed with early Alzheimer's. That's a problem. What you're going to wear tomorrow morning is not a problem. I've learned in life, and I really consciously remind myself, I made an error in my work the other day, and you know, I started to get really stressed and really stressed, and I'm like, you know what? It's going to be okay. The world is going to go on. So all it's doing is creating a tremendous amount of anger. Should I be concerned? Of course I should be concerned about it. Of course I want to do my best quality work. But you got to remember what's really important. And so hopefully it's family, maybe your religion, your spirituality, and certainly hopefully your health. You know, they say without your health, you don't have anything. And that's not exactly true, but without your health, that's a big component.
It is a big component. Yep, absolutely.
So.
Yeah, it's funny because something you said kind of triggered a memory of mine. And just recently, maybe it was a year ago, I was working on a grant, and it was a stressful time for me. I was doing something new, so there was a learning process, and of course, like I said before, I wanted it to be perfect. We were trying to get the grant, and you know, there was a lot at stake financially, and so I remember going home late one night, and I was sort of, you know, my husband was there, and I was like, I'm so stressed and this, and I'm talking about the grant and this and that. And he goes, well, what does your boss say? I said, well, he says I'm doing a great job, but what about, and he's like, whoa, wait a minute. You just said someone you really respect said you're doing a great job. So why are you so stressed about it? But as you said before, because in my head, you know, it was.
So, yeah, and so stress occurs, and in this case, it did for you a lot. Because it was new, you said. So we get stressed when we don't feel competent in something that we're doing. And, of course, there was also an important outcome. And so one of the things you might have said to yourself was, actually, it makes sense I'm stressed because I haven't done this before. It's kind of natural. You know, and to normalize things like that,
right?
Even that can be helpful.
Yeah, someone else once told me too. When you think about stress and the body's physical stress response, is that when you feel that coming on, you know, your heart starting to race or you're feeling flush or whatever it is for you, that in a sense you should think almost positively about it because it's a sign that your body is doing what it was created to do.
That's very interesting.
And it is interesting because if you change your thought process and say, okay, wow, my body really knows that I'm stressed and it's helping me.
Right.
Then it kind of like, okay, right. I'm doing what I need to do. And, you know, so that's an interesting thought too about stress.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we talked about stress. We definitely have a lot of stress, all of us, with our lives and our
business. But we only have stress if we say we have stress.
Okay, Paul, I'm going to stop saying that.
Things are only stressful when you say they're stressful, right?
This is what happens when you invite a psychologist on your show. No, you're very right because I should...
See, I'm right because you say I'm right, so that's nice. I need to get my girlfriend to say that to me more.
I I say it because I say things like that to my children, so I should listen to myself, right?
Listen to yourself, and your future self obviously didn't tell you anything you don't already know.
I know, so I should listen to myself. All right, so something else you had on here that I think is very important as well is that when we set these goals for ourselves and we're trying to make changes, that we have some mechanism of tracking our success.
Yeah, so, I mean, even if we back up one step before that, one of the biggest, you always want to set yourself up for success, no matter what you do. When you're talking about making changes, that's really important. Because, for the most part, if we knew how to do something better, we'd already be doing it. And so that implies that, however we're doing things right now, it's not working. So the first thing we need to do is really clearly define what the goal is. And we have friends in New Year's resolutions that say, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to get healthier. Well, if somebody says, I'm going to get healthier, what exactly does that mean? And how would you ever measure it? What is driving even your wanting to be healthier? And it's really great when you actually, again, define it. What does it mean? It can be percentage of body weight. I don't ever recommend just simply pounds, but you can do that. But maybe it's something like a woman in my class at the gym lost 160 pounds.
Wow.
And she's not even 50 yet. Really, really inspirational. And I just talked to her one day and I said, can I just ask you what triggered that? And she said, I looked at my parents who were obese and weren't able to, make it up a flight of stairs, or weren't able to play with their grandchildren. And she said, A, I realized I needed to be a role model to them, and B, I wanted to be able to play with my children. And so when you can make these things even beyond you,
yeah,
and have meaning, beyond being able to fit into a bathing suit that you want,
right,
and look good, if you can get connected at that level, that makes a big difference. So clearly define what does success actually mean? In fact, you can put it like this. Have a friend, could he or she evaluate whether you had accomplished your goals or not? Called the stranger test.
Okay.
So could somebody evaluate whether you'd been successful or not? By the way, I also think the focus should be on the behaviors you engage in order to reach your goal. So I think about, let's say a basketball player, they want to score baskets. Well, what gets you to score baskets? Well, knowing how to dribble, knowing how to pass, knowing how to guard, knowing how to communicate with your team members. If you do those things really well, you're going to score baskets. If you, exercise and eat healthy in particular ways, you're going to achieve the outcome you desire. We end up focusing sometimes too much on what the actual outcome is.
Yeah.
Now, to answer your question is about tracking behavior. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to, I'll just say this, if you wanted to get healthier, if you wanted to lose weight, start by tracking what you eat. And you literally, I promise you, will not be able to keep your behavior consistent and track it at the same time. You just naturally, as you become aware, self-aware, you will start changing your behavior. I have a gentleman right now that I'm working with, and he wants to get healthier. And what I have him tracking, it's a very simple Excel spreadsheet. So I have him putting the hours of sleep that he's getting, number of drinks, the alcoholic beverages that he's having, the kind of exercise that he's doing, the stress that he's at work, his mood, because all these things are connected with one another.
Yep.
And then you want to see different patterns. But as a starting point, define the behavior, define the outcome that you want, and then figure out a very simple, reasonable way to track it. Maybe it's a sheet of paper on your refrigerator or next to your bed, but I absolutely critical that you track your behavior. There's my girlfriend uses the Fitness Pal,
yes,
app. That is wildly excellent. way to track your behavior.
There's definitely so many things now in the way of, you know, apps and different things that you can use to track. So there's no excuses now, right? Even a piece of paper and a pencil could do it. I love the fact that you talk about people writing down what they eat, if that's, you know, their goal is to eat healthier, because we don't realize how much we eat throughout the course of the day or what we're eating. We may think that we're eating healthy, and maybe we are, maybe we aren't. But once you have it down in black and white, it's a lot easier to assess, you know, where are maybe some areas where you can do better. There was a man who was trying to lose weight, and he was exercising religiously. He was eating healthy, and he really just was not making the progress that we thought he should be making. And it turns out that once he did the food diary, he was having soda throughout the day. So he was eating salads and low-fat proteins and fiber and lots of veggies, and but washing it all down with, you know, Coke. So the fitness trainer that told me about this, she said, you know, she showed him how many calories. You know, and once they said, oh, no, we need to pull that out or modify what you're doing here. And, you know, he made strides after that.
What, were there something like 10 spoonfuls of sugar or something?
It's a crazy amount of sugar.
It's crazy.
So, all right, I'll make a confession. All right, are you ready?
Right here, live?
Yes,
are we live?
Live.
Okay.
I used to have a Coke. That was my thing. Yeah. 3 o'clock every day, I would have a Coca-Cola.
Well,
and a Coke.
Boy, what a bad person you are. Really. Kim, I don't know if I can be in the show anymore.
I know. But I have to tell you that I no longer have a can of Coke every day.
Okay.
But I do probably have one once a month. I'm not giving it up totally.
No, it's a special treat.
But it is a special treat.
To go back what you're saying is, I think, again, if we're focused on nutrition, most people are profoundly uneducated on this topic. Profoundly. And then that's one of the reasons that some of these apps that are really, they're educational very much in dividing between, you know, carbohydrates and fats. And by the way, you know, people say, well, a calorie is a calorie is a calorie. That's just not true. I mean, you can drink a thousand calories in wine is very different than 1,000 calories in fruits and vegetables. Anyway, I was working with an organization, and we developed a health and wellness program. And by the way, it was interesting. I did an upfront assessment, and one of the questions that I had, this little questionnaire I put together, and one of the questions had to do with to what extent do you think it's important to have social support? And I found that the people that put down that it was important were much more successful than those who said it wasn't important.
Yeah.
It really, for a number of reasons, we could spend an hour talking about it. But there was a woman in the class who literally had a gray complexion to her, and she wasn't overweight. You wouldn't say that. She clearly wasn't toned. And so we had to do a food diary for 2 weeks. It comes back, and no exaggeration, she had the same sort of habits. She drank 5 cups of coffee and 3 Cokes every day.
Oh, my gosh.
She drank...
Caffeinated coffee?
Oh, yeah. She drank...
Wow.
She had no breakfast. I can't remember what she had for lunch, and then sort of her big dinner. At any rate, the first place was obviously to educate her a little bit health and nutrition. Now, here's something that I'll share, which in some ways is tragic, but I think also makes an important point. One of the sayings that I have is the difference between something and nothing is everything. So the difference between doing something and doing nothing is really everything. So the difference between going for a 10-minute walk and not is really the world, because you're beginning to establish behaviors and you feel more self-empowered and reinforced for it and all. So it's that. So anyway, this woman... very early on in the program, was involved in a terrible accident. And she ended up in the hospital for 6 weeks. And, of course, we all felt terrible for her. And at the end of, it was, I think, a three-month program, there was like a little party. And she actually had been out of work for 2.5 months. So we invited her. She asked if she could come to this party. And so she came back, and she actually looked great. And here she'd been in the hospital for 6 weeks, home for 2.5 months. And so I looked at her and I said, you know, Carol, I said, wow, you're really terrific. I said, well, what'd you do? She said, you know, Paul, she says, I was lying in the hospital bed. She said, and I heard your voice, and it was control what you can control, and the difference between something and nothing is everything. So she actually got educated on nutrition. We had started there. Mm-hmm. She called the nurse in, the dietitian, and said, you know, I want this, this, and this, and I don't want this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. And then she said she just decided to get out of bed and start walking the hallways. She controlled what she could control, yep. And she knew the difference between something and nothing was everything.
Yeah.
So that's...
That's a great story.
Yeah.
It's a really great story. And also showing how, you know, maybe, not that you want to get in an accident,
no.
But sometimes a major change that you think could make you go in a negative direction could possibly have some positive,
yeah.
You know, positive outcomes on it. So, yeah. Well, hopefully she's all better now. Is she in your class still?
No, this actually was a company I worked with.
Oh, okay.
So I hope that she's... here's something else I just say. You know, as a psychologist, and you never know what words are going to impact somebody. And there was a guy who had been in this class, and I saw him like 2 years later in the cafeteria, and he'd put all the weight on, he lost, and he was eating French fries and pizza for lunch. And I just looked at him, I was like, well, what are you doing? You know, and I said, I'm really disappointed, you know? I thought you'd been... So I walk away, and I saw him about 2 months after that, and he lost all the weight, and he looked wow. great. And so he just said, you know what, you made me really kind of look in the mirror kind of thing. And
kind of called him out on it.
Yeah, I called him out on it.
Yeah.
And again, you kind of never know when you say to something how it's going to maybe stick with them,
yeah.
the impact it's going to make.
I have I talked about when I started my exercise regimen that there was someone that sort of got me, I don't know, she got in my head, like that
yeah.
thing got in that woman's head. And one of the reasons for me that I think she got in my head was because she talked about keeping it real,
mm-hmm.
Which for me meant this doesn't mean you take everything you love, you know, I'm
mm-hmm.
talking more about the food, out of your life and substitute it with, I mean, I like healthy food too. I enjoy
mm-hmm.
all kinds of food. But, you know, she said, if you want to have a glass of wine on Friday night,
right.
have your glass of wine, and this is how you should do it. You know, or you, if you want to have that burger occasionally, this is what you should do. Maybe you should do a little extra exercise, or maybe you don't have
sure.
the bun, or, you know, if you really want the bun, have the bun. Maybe you don't have the fries, whatever. There's ways of incorporating the things that we all love without losing the healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, two thoughts I have. One is we know, again, in psychology that depressed people have this all or nothing kind of thinking. And so it's that, well, I blew it, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
I might as well still keep blowing it.
Right.
And so there's obviously something about that. You mentioned moderation earlier, and that's obviously very important. This is, I'm sure you know this, in terms of a very concrete, specific strategy, one is you should plan your meals. You should never open the refrigerator at dinner and go, gee, I wonder what I'm going to have. Because the choices you make in that moment may be different than the choices you planned out. So, you know, there's real traditional straight advice. You know, on Sunday, you go shopping, right? You plan your shop. You plan what you're going to eat for the week. If you can, you actually cook on Sundays. You freeze what you're going to freeze. But you really do know what you're going to be having every day. And I actually find that it's one of those things, some people may feel it's really constraining in some way or too regimented. I don't know. There's also a sense of kind of it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you know what you're going to have.
I think that's a great strategy. I know that, I mean, you can read the studies. People that make their own lunch instead of going out to lunch every day, or people that do more home cooking, they tend to eat less. You know, you tend to make healthier choices when, and the portion, you know, portion control is huge. Certainly the lunch I make at home is a lot smaller than the one I get at the diner.
Sure.
You know, that you could share with two friends. So it is important to think ahead. And, you know, I think that's another thing that may be a stumbling block for some people as well, because they talk about the time again. You know, well, I don't have time to prepare my lunch. And, you know, it's more excuses. But the reality of it is, and I actually timed it, it took me about 35 seconds to make a salad. I bought the pre-mix, you know, spring mix.
Sure.
I had the chicken from Sunday night. Like 35 seconds. I think everybody has 35 seconds to throw a piece of fruit in there. And so we have to stop making excuses and start, you know, making better choices for ourselves and feeling good about the choices that we're making.
One of the things that I say when I teach spinning, and we close the door, and I say, okay, leave your excuses outside the door, and if you'd like to pick them up on the way out, you may. So I mentioned to you before we went on the show that one of the things that I did for myself for my 50th birthday was to give up the word should, because I realized that I had all these shoulds in my life, and it read like a New Year's resolutions list. You know, I should redo my website, and I should write a new book, and I should work out more, and I should eat healthier and all. And what I realized, all that ever really did was make me feel badly about myself. And so I just understand that it's about choices you make, and some of the choices are going to make you feel better and some aren't. But a piece of advice that I would have for people is give up should.
Yeah.
And what is it, Yoda, that said either do or do? Try is another one. Try. If you hear nothing else, give up the word try. Because you never heard anybody who, you know, very few people who smoke cigarettes and say, I'm going to try to quit. People who drink, I'm going to try to quit drinking, or even be a better husband. I'm going to try to be a better. It's like we let ourselves off the hook immediately.
Yeah. Yep.
So stop trying. The secret. I'm going to talk about this when I do your presentation.
Okay.
The secret to life, in some ways, is to give up, and giving up trying is one of them.
Yeah, I read an article one time that most Olympic, like gold medalists, they envision themselves winning before they even get to the Olympics. They can see it in their minds, and they can see themselves doing whatever it is they have to do. They can see themselves up on the podium. They imagine the medal around their neck, how it feels, the weight of it. And there's something to be said for that. You know?
It's a little yes, absolutely. And it's a little tiny bit of like the future self exercise. Because it's, you see yourself happy. You know, what is that? And that also gives you, I think, some sense of inspiration.
Yeah.
You know. I have a friend right now who is about my age, and he has a picture of himself when he was maybe 25. And he was just, he's absolutely cut up. I mean, amazing. And he put that on his refrigerator, he told me. He showed me the picture, and I said, so that's going to inspire me. I said, no, I think that's actually going to depress you. I said, because there just ain't no way that's happening. I mean, so one of the things that I do think about when you set goals, one of the most important things that you can do is, it should be a bit of a stretch, but it should also be realistic, because we know that people with low self-esteem, they actually set their goals either so high that they say, well, nobody could achieve that, or they set it so low they think, well, anybody could achieve that. Mm-hmm. So you want to set reasonable goals, and you really want to, you know, you're not going to, if you want to run a marathon, you're not going to run it tomorrow. So you have to set those incremental goals.
Yeah.
And we call that a shaping paradigm.
Right. Yeah. So do you say, like, set some short-term goals and some longer-term goals, or,
you know what,
in that sense?
I think longer-term goals, it's a long-term goal broken up into short-term goals.
Okay.
And, you know, if you have a – okay, if it's – let me use cigarette smoking as an example of that, because there may be listeners out there. There are people who go cold turkey, and God bless them. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
But for many people, that's much more challenging. And so incrementally to track and say, you know, this week it's 20 a day and then 19 a day and then 18 a day. And you have to reestablish the baseline. Mm-hmm. And so you have to go for at least 5 days with that number of cigarettes. So if you go 3 days and you end up smoking more than you should, you reset the clock. You have to have that baseline
okay.
in place.
Yeah. And I feel like some of that goes, you know, for the other things as well, like even with exercising. You know, we talked about, you know, kind of starting small and then moving. You know, I think it's important because I know for myself, if you go full bore, it's like you talked about it in your New Year's resolution, you know. I'm going to do this, and you change everything, and then a few weeks later, you're like, what did I do?
And so two things I'll share. One is things that change quickly, change back quickly. Things that change quickly, change back quickly.
I like that a lot.
So,
yeah.
You know, my friends who says, I'm going to give up all flour, sugar, blah, 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 blah. Really? And then you look at your watch. You know, how long is this going to go? So those quick kinds of changes don't really tend to stick.
Yeah.
And the other thing I would say, and this applies to, we've been focused on health and wellness, but I would say, for example, saving money. Mm-hmm. When you say yes to one thing, by default, you're saying no to something else. That's just how it works. Mm-hmm. If you say yes to eating a piece of cake, you're saying no to eating healthy. You say yes to buying a new pair of jeans, you're saying no to saving money. You say yes to staying at work late, you're saying no to spending more time with your family. Mm-hmm. And all I ask people to be, really take ownership mm-hmm. in that choice that they make and to really consider, is this more important than this? And you said you're a perfectionist. And one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was from my undergraduate advisor. And when I was going to graduate school, he said, you know, Paul, he said, you're used to doing everything at 100%, right? You were used to getting A's on what you do, and you're not going to be able to do that in graduate school. So one of the most important things you can do is to prioritize and recognize what requires an A, a B, and can even take a C. And something I've struggled with in my life that I tend to kind of obsess around and give as much attention to the C's as I should to the A's. And that's not a good choice that I've made. So yeah. Say yes to one thing. By default, you're saying no to something else.
Right, exactly. All right, so one of the things you also mentioned here, and we touched a little bit, but I'd like to just talk a little bit more about patience, because I think we all lose patience with ourselves. And especially when we get, if we're talking about exercise, especially when we hit those plateaus in our you know, regimen. But just really, if you could talk about being patient with ourselves in any respect, not just exercise.
My girlfriend says I have no patience, which in some ways, unfortunately, she is correct. You know, the thing about patience is, in some ways, when it comes to making these changes, if you can actually, and this is not to be negative, but anticipate that there are going to be, if not setbacks, then times when you're going to hit plateaus. I mean, there are going to be times when most of us fall off the wagon in some way, and you may have that extra, you know, piece of cake or something to eat. The thing that you don't want to do is beat yourself up.
Right.
And some sense of patience that's why charting and tracking behavior is so important.
Yeah.
Because if you can see, yes, I've made these kinds of incremental changes over time, and then I fell off, you know, it's like be a little bit more patient with yourself and understand that these kinds of changes make time. You know, we're a society of instant gratification.
Yeah.
And, you know, people who've gained a lot of weight and they want to lose, it just doesn't work that way. You know, let's come to reality here. So I think hopefully if you've made some progress, you know, breathing, understand that you may plateau, that's kind of even natural. At times, I think, again, you know, it's interesting. It goes back to the social support mechanism. You want to have somebody in your life who's really has your back.
Yeah.
You know, they're really there for you.
Yeah.
And can actually say to you, you know, it's okay. and you need to be patient.
Yeah.
Right? Patience is, it's tough. I mean, I say it's tough, and I make it tough, right? That's what I said before. But there are times that you can see your future
right.
and where you want to get to, and it's like you want to run to that future.
Right.
And the truth is that what you need to do, or what you should do, I guess, is just keeping focused on that one foot in front of you. Just
right.
keep focused on today I'm going to go to the gym for 20 minutes. And honestly, it's the days, as you know, that you don't want to go that are the best days to go. And
right.
I say, just, you know what, lie to yourself. Just say you're going to drive to the gym and then you're going to drive home.
That's right.
Because the chances are you're probably not.
You're not. You're going to stay there
right?
once you're there.
So
we have about 1 minute
okay.
left. So I definitely want, I could talk for another hour.
Maybe we will one day.
I do want to mention again the presentation that you're doing at the medical center, because it is open to the public.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yes,
oh.
it is. Anybody
Very
who
cool.
would like to attend, we want to pack the auditorium because we really want to spread this message.
Great.
Of you know, making better choices and living a culture of health and a healthy lifestyle, and how it can be done one step at a time. So that is going to be held at Hunterdon Medical Center at 2100 Westcott Drive in Flemington on October 6th, and the registration is at 8 o'clock, and the presentation is at 8:30. Paul, again, I want to thank you for coming in. We didn't even get to talk about your book.
I know. Oh, here, I'll plug.
www.paulmarciano.com. Okay, so go to his website.
Go to my website, Carrots and Sticks Don't Work. You can email me. I have lots of them. One is paul@therespectguy.com.
I love it.
So it's been a pleasure, Kim. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you, Paul. This is Healthy Hunterdon, and we'll see you next month.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is...
$1. Just text WIN to 30838.
We'll see is how President Trump responded to a question about whether he's going to fire U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price after Price is accused of taking private jets for government business. Trump saying outside the White House while on his way to Indiana yesterday.
I was looking into it, and I will look into it, and I will tell you personally, I'm not happy about it. I am not happy
about it.
I'm going to look at it. I am not happy about it, and I let him know it.
Russia says it has destroyed the last of its chemical weapons. President Vladimir Putin presiding over a staged event yesterday that was broadcast on Russian state TV. The event showing him ordering Russian officials to dismantle the last shells containing chemical agents. Putin called it a historic event and is chastising the U.S. for not destroying its own chemical weapons. Remember, you can find us online anytime at usaradio.com.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge, and I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory, or VRA. After 15 years on Wall Street, I founded the VRA in 2003, my daily investment newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. I tell you what to buy and when to sell and take profits, and I only target stocks.